May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 7. God shall alone the refuge be, and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken, he, too good to be unkind. Hymn number 7.
Oh,
Our reading from God's holy word is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. And we'll read down to verse 29. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. But I say unto you, that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our souls, and now help his servant in prayer.
Dear Lord, thy great mercy, thou hast spared us once more to gather in thy courts here. Now, as we gather on this thy holy day, we do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, that we may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet and sacred presence, both in our hearts, Lord, and too within these walls. Oh, that thou wilt speak to our souls. Thou hast said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, we pray that we may have that ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And, O Lord, may the blessed application of thy word be known and felt in each of our hearts. And oh, may its gracious effect be known and felt and sweetly experienced. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant to us the gracious help and aid of thy Holy Spirit, that we may truly worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. Oh, may we be favoured like those in the Mount of Transfiguration, and that we might see as they did, no man save Jesus only. Oh, we would come, Lord, pleading his precious name, that name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves, and blesses them indeed. Oh, we do seek, dear Lord, for that sweet access at the throne of thy grace. May we prove what the dear hymn writer said, 'tis he instead of me is seen, as I approach to God. O Lord, we would come, confessing our many, many sins. Lord, there's much we have to mourn over, to grieve over. One said, sin's immense as is the sea. Hide me, O Gethsemane. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that we might have that true broken heart and contrite spirit. We may be at thy dear feet begging like the publican for mercy. Oh, how we need thee, Lord, to blot out our many, many sins, our many transgressions, and that we may be washed in that precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus, that blood that cleanseth the blackest, the vilest of sinners, of all sins. As the dear poet said, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. And oh, may there be known and felt, Lord, in each of our hearts the sweet application of thy precious blood, that each burdened sinner may lose their load, and downcast souls rejoice. Oh, do sweetly assure us, Lord, each person, thou didst suffer, bleed, and die for us, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that thou hast redeemed us, that we are thine, and thou art ours. Oh, we pray to have that real religion, Lord, thou dost give to thy dear children. May we not just be left to grow up in a form of religion, and know nothing of the power. Oh, how we need thee, Lord, to continually quicken us into life, that our souls might live. Lord, we have to prove what the psalmist said, none can keep alive his own soul. Oh, that we may be among thy living family. As the dear poet said, with them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. Who come and meet the cases of thy dear people this day. Suit thy word to every sinner's case. May those, Lord, that are burdened and weighed down, so concerned, being able to leave all their concerns and burdens in thy hand, and May they see thee working for them and in them, and sweetly delivering them. Oh, do whisper those precious words of the dear poet, Lord. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. O Lord, may we have that faith that dear man had, we read of in thy word, to truly believe, even to the saving of our soul. Oh, do take away the unbelief, Lord, that plagues our poor heart. We pray that thou wilt lift up any that are cast down. Those that may have some special need, we pray thou wilt supply. Lord, do prepare us each for thy will. Grant us that grace, Lord, to be submissive to thy mind and will in all things. May we not be left to murmur or complain, but oh, that we may be as the dear poet, to lie passive at thy feet and know no will but thine. O Lord, do grant to the dear children thy grace in early years. May it please thee to work in them and for them, and keep them from this world and all its snares and dangers and attractions. And oh, do hear the prayers of the dear parents for their offspring. Raise up, we beseech thee, a seed to serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. And may each one be kept by thy mighty power, that they may follow on to know the Lord, whom to know is life eternal. And O Lord, we pray thou wilt bless the labours of those that labour in the Sabbath school. May thy word, Lord, enter into each young heart. And may be those sweet encouragements to the teacher. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt look upon those in affliction's pathway. We pray for our dear brother unable to come this morning, Lord, thou knowest his weakness and his dear beloved wife in all her afflictions. We would lovingly commend them to thee, to the word of thy grace. And others, Lord, throughout Zion in deep affliction. We pray if it's thy holy will, healing virtue will be granted. But Lord, if it's thy will through these afflictions to take them from this sin-cursed earth, we would not wish the hours more slow to keep them from their love. And may they and may we each be prepared to stand before thy face, for thy spirit must thee work perform. For it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. Oh, do be that helper to all that feel helpless, Lord, and all that need thee, whatever their need may be. Oh, do remember those that carry offspring. We pray that thou wilt be with them and grant them that help and strength, and especially, Lord, as the hour of deliverance draws near. We pray thou wilt grant life and spare life, and that there may be those little ones born, and with all their faculties, and be raised up to be children of God, true seekers of thy face. We pray for special help and strength, Lord. And oh, we do thank thee for safely delivering Sarah and granting her and her dear husband another daughter. And we would pray earnestly for them, that thou wilt remember them and bless them abundantly in their souls. And we would praise and bless thy holy name. And Lord, we do pray for thee. Our dear brother Deacon here and Benji unable to come. Do remember them in all the burdens they carry and help the dear friends to pray them along. And do bless the hymns they give out. May there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And, O Lord, if it would please thee, do call many in this village by thy grace. May there be an awakening of many sinners round, if it be thy holy will, to come and fill the place. May the Bibles that go forth be used of thee, that many may be brought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, may thy constraining love constrain others to follow. For thou hast said in thy word, and yet there is room. And oh, that there may be those, Lord, favoured with thy blessed word applied and the love of Christ constrained. They might venture while there's room, for thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. Oh, we pray for real travail in the churches, that there may be yet a bringing forth of Zion's offspring. Grant, Lord, that those away at this time may be refreshed by the change. And do bless them where they are, and bring them back in peace and safety, if it be thy holy will. And oh, do remember Zion at large. We pray that thou wilt yet appear, and the crooked things be made straight, the rough places plain. And may thy servants be granted gracious help and divine anointing of thy Spirit. And may there be a real fruit following the preaching of the word. And do remember, Lord, our guilty nation, hear the prayers that are put up for thy appeal. We beg of thee to open the blind eyes of our leaders and rulers. Bring them to seek thy face in, and to know and do thy will in all the affairs of this nation. We pray for that heavenly wisdom to be given. And oh, do deliver us, Lord, from the plague in the land, if it's thy will. And may it be a voice to many, to be ready for eternity. That many may seek thy face. Who keep us each safe from it all, we thank thee for all the safety thou hast granted. And we would be truly thankful for thy mercies to us. Lord, who grant us a heart to love and praise thee more, and a heart to bless thy holy name. Now, Lord, we would not multiply words. Do be with us and give us that to set before thy dear people, that we may be, even this day, the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. And O Lord, do grant a true spirit of healing. May it never be said of this people, faith not being mixed with that, with them that heard the word. Oh, may living faith be in gracious exercise in pulpit, desk and pew. Christ be exhorted, sinners laid in the dust. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss, make up where we so fail, and be with us around thy table at the close of this service. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
Oh,
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and the 7th verse. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 5, and verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dear Peter could well write this from divine experience. He knew in his own heart and in his own pathway the many cares and burdens that he'd had to carry. But he knew where to go with them. And he says here, casting all your care upon him. The Lord seemed to very clearly give me this word, though it is a well-known text. And no doubt many have been wonderfully favoured with the application of it. But what a wonderful mercy it is that the Lord has provided a blessed place where his dear people can cast all their cares. But before we look into it, I would just add this, that, and we need reminding of it, because he sets before us in the verse prior to the text the great need of gracious humility. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This prefixes our text. And when is it, poor soul, you can cast all your care upon him? Is it not when you are humble, tender, at the feet of Jesus? You can leave them all then in his blessed hand. And Peter knew what it was for the Lord to truly humble him. We think of after he had denied his blessed master in the judgment hall, and the cock crow, and Jesus looked at Peter and he went out and wept bitterly. He knew what it was to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. And may we be favoured, each of us. It's my soul's desire personally, and I long for it for us each here, that we may know more and more of that grace of humility. To be nothing before the Lord, that he might be the all and in all to us. And I don't know why the Lord has given me this word, but are those of you this morning who got some cares that really concern you? They may be in your soul. They may be in your pathway. They may be in the family. They may be cares that they're only between your heart and the Lord. But what are you doing with them? Are you trying to manage them yourself? Because if we try and manage them ourselves, we soon, if we're the Lord's children, find all our own schemes and planning in them soon fails, doesn't it? When he says, cast in all your care, it's a wonderful word, really. Cast, something that's cast, and you, dear children, will know if you have a ball or object and you cast it from you, you put it away from you. And the child of God is instructed here to cast all your care, whatever that may be. It may be a small thing. It may be a great thing. There's several things of late, I don't need to go into details with them, but you know, some of the small things in the pathway that quite burden me. I think perhaps the older we get, the more they come a burden. And I had to cast them upon the Lord, leave them with him. And you know, the Lord has wonderfully appeared in some of those small things. The old ministers used to say, you watch the Lord's hand in the small things, you'll see them in the great. And you think of some of the small things in your providential life, that they're cares to you, they're burdens to you. But don't try and manage them, Peter's exhorting us here, yourself, poor soul. Cast them upon the Lord, leave them in his hand. I often think of that word. I remember Mr. Harold Crowther preaching from it at Ashwell many years ago. I think it's in that 39th chapter of Genesis, where Joseph was in the house of Potiphar. And what do we read? He left all that he had, Potiphar did, in Joseph's hand. Everything in his hand. And Joseph was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And in leaving it in Joseph's hand, what happened? The Lord wonderfully appeared and prospered everything in the house of Potiphar, because he left it in the right place, in the hand of Joseph. And may we be enabled to cast all our care upon the dear Redeemer who so cares for his dear people. So he says, cast in all your care. Let us look at a few cases, first of all, just briefly. I'll only be brief because of the Lord's Supper. But you think of the dear man, and that's why we read that chapter together this morning. In Mark's Gospel, where his son, you think of the burden it must have been to him. This lad had been cast into the fire and into the water. What was Satan trying to do? Trying to destroy the dear lad. Casting him in the fire and into the water. And it wasn't just a few days. It was from a child. Upwards in his life. But you know, the dear man had to come to this place, the only place that he could bring him for deliverance was to the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. The disciples had been given power to cast out devils. You see, Satan was trying to destroy the lad. But look how low the dear father had to come, and the dear child too, as no doubt it was such a great cross for them to carry. But they came to this, you see. The disciples couldn't cast them out on this occasion. Jesus said when they questioned him, as we read in the lesson, why they couldn't cast him out. And he said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. But you know, bringing his case to the Saviour, to the Lord Jesus, she was taking it to one who has all power to remove all that burden you have, all that care you have this morning. I love that couplet of the hymn, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his power and love are such that none can ever ask too much." And how the Lord gave that dear man faith to believe the Lord Jesus would cast him out. And he did, didn't he? And the dear lad was set at liberty after all those years of bondage and the care, the burden that the dear father had. It was all gone in a moment. Cast in all your care. It seemed to come so powerfully, thinking of the service today. On Friday morning, I woke up thinking of the Lord's Day and the service here and at Southerly this afternoon, and it seemed like a great burden to me and what's before me in the week. And I thought, Lord, I can't do it. It's too much. And that word dropped in of our text with such sweetness and power. Cast in all your care. Not some of it. All of it. Go back to Potiphar's house. What Potiphar did, he left all that he had, not some of it, in the hands of Joseph. And you look in what you may be in today. Well, let us look at a few things that may be of cares to you. Firstly, look at the sin within your own heart. You know, the more we know of the sin of our own heart, the more that a burden that will be to us. So the Holy Spirit reveals to the poor sinner what they really are before a holy God. Oh, the burden. You think of the publican. He didn't trouble the Pharisee, did he? But he troubled the dear publican. He got this great burden. This great care upon him. He couldn't remove it, nor could the disciples, nor could any man. But bringing it to the King of Kings, the dear Lord Jesus, and casting it all upon him, he can remove every particle of the guilt and burden that you have, poor soul, in a moment. Oh, yes. I love that word, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's been very sweet to me on occasions, all sin. We have this little word all, as Mr. Wood often used to say. You look at the small words, all your care, all your sin. Leave it all with him. He can remove it all. And when you think of the power of the precious blood of Jesus, it cleanseth a poor sinner from all sin. So you look within, instead of being a sink of sin and unbelief, the Lord remove it all by the application of that precious blood that doth for sin atone. And oh, what a flow from it. Well, poor soul, several things. Firstly, you'll be absolutely humbled in the dust. The Lord will ever favour you with a sweet taste of his pardoning love and the application of his precious blood. And secondly, you'll know what it is for that burden to all be gone. And so you can praise and bless his holy name. That sweeps all the sin away, you see. You look forward and it's all gone. It's a wonderful experience, you know. It's a taste of heaven really begun below. So the exhortation, whether we be young or old, you dear children, those cares you may have at school or burdens as you think of the future, cast them upon him. Take them to him. He can manage all. Think of what the hymn writer said. Manage all by the way and to the end. Not manage some of it, all of it. You think of that, what we read in the lesson. The Lord dealt with it all, didn't he? And the lad was set free. And the father was abundantly blessed with answer to his prayer and desire. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And what did Jesus say? If thou canst believe. Oh, to have that grain of faith, to believe as we come to the Lord with those cares, that he has power to remove them, power to appear, to deliver you. And it's really softens the sinner's heart, doesn't it? Oh, that we might know more and more of that truly soft heart before the Lord, casting all your care upon him. And then, of course, there are the cares that you have in the family. Bring them to him, you see. You think of the dear woman that came with her daughter, Lord help me. She had to bring all the case to the dear Redeemer. And what is so wonderful about those cases where they came to the Saviour is he knew exactly what to do with every case. There was nothing too hard for him. Think of that word that the Lord spoke to Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You may have got some hard cases, hard burdens today, whether it's in the business, in your home, in the family, or in your soul, or concerning the house of God and the church of God. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when we can cast it all into his hand. Put it from us. Leave it with him. And then you may have a great exercise within you, concerning maybe following the Lord in his sacred ordinances, and then the offices of the church and the ministry. They're all cares the Lord lays upon his dear people. And when he lays them upon you, you have to carry that care, that burden, but you have to seek the Lord to uphold you under it. Now think of that beautiful parallel word to our text in Psalm 55. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. You can't sustain yourself, can you? If I may just drop a personal note here. He came to me while you were singing, actually, and thinking of the text. And when I was so excited about the ministry in my teenage days, I was taken very ill with shingles and then glandular fever. And the devil said, oh, but what about this exercise of the ministry? That's all going to come to nothing. You're going to die. And I remember going to the house of God with this great burden, Satan on my back, saying, oh, well, this burden you've got, you've just brought on yourself, you're just going to die and it'll never be brought to fruition. And I went to the house of God in the old chapel at Chatham and heard the late Mr. Mulvey preach. And his text was this: it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. And he spoke about the various yokes that the Lord lays upon his people, and particularly the yoke of the ministry. And he said, you know, when you've got this yoke, this burden on you, he said, there's no getting out from under it. He said, the devil may tempt you sore that it never be brought to fruition. And he went into it as if he knew everything what I was in. And yet Satan still attacked. And during that next week, it seemed as though the devil was let loose even more and more. But the following week, I went to hear him again in the same chapel. And his text, and I said, Lord, if it is real, in thy time bring it to fruition. But if it's only me, take it all away. I'm finished with it. And I went up, trembling what he would preach from. And because he said in that first occasion, he said, you know, the soul that has this yoke upon them either won't live long or they've got something to do. And then he went, of course, into the ministry. But when I went the second time, with the devil upon my back still attacking me, he's a great foe, poor soul. And he may be one that's burdened with the onslaughts of Satan this morning. But as I went the second time, I shall never forget the text. And it was this: thou shalt not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And you know the power when he read the text. Oh, the sweetness of it melts me today to think of it. But you know, the power when he read that text went right into my soul and the devil was gone. I had to leave it all in the Lord's hand, you see. And that's what you've got to do, poor soul. Thou shalt not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And you know, from that very hour I started to get better. The affliction gradually, and as the weeks went on afterwards, subsided. And the Lord assured me he'd bring it to fruition, you see. Cast in all your care upon him. Upon him. Him who is able to do for you far exceeding abundantly, the Apostle Paul said, than you can ask or even think. Leaving it in his hands, he can perform those things that are impossible with men. Cast in all your care, whether it be small, whether it be great. The vital things concerning your never dying soul, the small things of daily life. All your care. And when we can enter into the reality of this, it's living, you see, and may the Lord favour us, and I don't know why I say it, more and more, to live closer and closer to him, you see. You know, when I think of some of the old saints, they live so close to the Lord. And if a matter burdened them, they used to put it all in the Lord's hand. And they left it there, and they saw him work wondrously. They watched him work. They lived very close to him, you see. What does the hymn writer say? Nearer, nearer to him clinging. Oh, that we might be ever there. So he says, cast in all your care upon him. Now remember, this was sent by Peter to those that were scattered abroad. No doubt some of them were at the ends of the earth in their soul's feelings. There was no doubt there were those that were sorely afflicted. Many of them tried to the uttermost, scattered abroad throughout those places, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. But they were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. It was a gracious exhortation, wasn't it? Those cares. Now, I've only hinted at them, and I shall have to leave it because of the ordinance, but this morning, whatever that care may be, it may be just between your heart and the Lord. Nobody else know anything of it at all. But cast it all upon him, poor soul. Why? For he careth for you. And if we're spared and helped this evening, I'll look at the latter part. The wonderful care of the Lord to his dear people. Cast in all your care. It's not my word. It was not dear Peter's just to the church, those scattered abroad. It was God's message from heaven. And my great concern, as we name it this morning, is that it may be applied to each of our souls. You may have things before you in the coming week. Lord, how shall we deal with it? How shall we cope with it all? How shall we stand in it all before thee? Cast in all your care. The devil may say, oh, but it doesn't matter about this. It doesn't matter about something else. Take this back to the devil and say to him, the Lord said, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Well, may the Lord bless the word.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. Let us sing hymn 704. Lord, we lie before thy feet. Look on all our deep distress. Thy rich mercy may we meet. Clothe us with thy righteousness. Stretch forth thy almighty hand. Hold us up, and we shall stand. Hymn 704.
Thank you.
you, Lord, who bless thy word to our souls. We seek for grace to humble ourselves that we might cast all our cares upon thee. Be with us now around thy table. Lord, who favour us with a taste of thy everlasting love. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.